Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore, Jr.
I know many of you are waiting. Some of you have actually gotten discouraged, but I don't want you to. And the reason that I say that is because I was right at the same place that you are. Sometimes you believe things so strongly. And here's the thing. If you are naturally a passionate person, if you're naturally a person that not live with your emotions, but you don't mind expressing your emotions, and I'm one of the probably one of the few men on earth that I don't mind expressing my emotions at all. That stuff that men shouldn't cry, I've never paid any attention. I don't care. I know I'm 100% man. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. My emotions is what God gave me. If he didn't want me to have them, he wouldn't have given them to me. I have no problem expressing my emotions at all. And no other men, they express anger. They don't have a problem with that. So it's just as easy to express love and tenderness as it is to express anger. So I just choose to use all of the emotions that God has given me. And I like it because the Holy Spirit is emotional. And he's the one that expresses the feelings of God. Everything that the Father is feeling is expressed through his Spirit. And that's how we know his heart. When you are in this place where you are seeking God, it's really because he's seeking you. Now, I know we would love to believe that, you know, I just don't know, I just feel something. It's because God is seeking you. And all of us have to remember that. Whenever you feel like I need to do more, or I just feel something, it's because God is seeking you. He will send people to you. You will turn your radio on. You will hear a word. And you will say to yourself, that's just what I needed. Well, he knows that because he's talking to you. So you really need to understand that. When you're feeling this way, it's because God is seeking. He wants more of you. Listen, this relationship, how many of y'all know that this is a relationship of intimacy?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't want to be married to nobody and I can never be intimate with them. What kind of relationship is that? I mean, you know, intimacy is a part of the relationship. Just like we talk, just like we eat together, well, you know, you're supposed to be intimate together. That's all a part. Intimacy is a way of expressing what's in the inner parts of your heart. So I want to share with you today. I want you to go turn to your Bibles. To the book of Luke, chapter 1, because I know many of us are waiting. I actually believe that particularly this ministry, we are so pregnant with the manifestation of the purpose of God that we are actually in a season where we're almost feeling like we're frustrated. Well, you're feeling like a pregnant woman that's coming for a term. It's an uncomfortable time. Now, let me say I believe it's an uncomfortable time, because I've never been pregnant. I have no desire to be. I'm glad he did it the way he did it. Thank God for the women. You know, thank God for you. You know, we produced the seed and y'all bear it, and hallelujah, glory to God. I have no desire for that. But in the spirit, we can all be pregnant. And this is what you got to understand. In the spirit realm, we can all sense that pregnancy where it starts out small and you're excited. And, you know, I mean, think about ladies when you're pregnant. You know, you're real excited. You share it with your families and, you know, you're just so glad about it. And think about the first time, and Louise is giving me that look, the first time you feel the baby kick. You know, you want to take somebody's hand and you just want to put it there so they can feel the child. You get excited. But around that 8th month, you start getting to the place where I wish he was, or he or she, whatever it is, just come out of me. I'm tired. My legs are swollen. You know, I can't do the things I want. I don't have anything to wear. I'm always hurting. My back is killing me. You know, you're not as excited as you were. I mean, you're glad the baby's there, but you get to the point, and how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You get to the point where you just want it to be over.
Yeah.
And this is where some of you are in the spirit right now. You've born this thing. You've been impregnated. You've been excited. But now you come to term and you're feeling frustrated because you want the baby to come out. I mean, you haven't given up on the baby. And this is what I want to encourage you. I understand that. I know that you have not given up on your spiritual pregnancy. But you're at that place, and I want you to understand this. You're at that place now where you're ready for what God has promised to show up. Am I right?
Yes.
You want to see the manifestation of what God said.
Yes.
You know, you like people prophesying to you, and it seems like when you tell God, don't send me no more prophets, he has sent five more. I mean, people are starting, he will. People are starting, people that you don't even expect will start coming and sharing a word, and you're saying, now God, I thought I said, he don't care nothing about what you said. God wants you to know that you are pregnant.
Yes.
You are coming to full term, and the frustration that you're feeling is not a feeling of I'm giving up, but it's about to happen. So you have that place, think about it in the natural. You get to that place where you want that baby to come out of here.
Yes.
I mean, am I right, ladies, or am I wrong?
Yes.
You want it to come out. You haven't got mad because you're pregnant, you know, and then when that baby is being birthed, you're even in more pain then. But now here's the amazing thing that really encouraged me. Now, I've never had a baby, but I've always been there to see all of my children born, every single one of them. And I know this, that time where the woman is pushing and you're dilating, you know, to get that cervix ready to push that baby out, and you're going through all of these changes, it don't last that long. And when you give that final push, I've even seen the head crowning on a baby. And I've gotten so upset. I remember Troy, my firstborn. I saw all of this, and it was so amazing. Now, I was standing there amazed, and yet, you know, my wife was squeezing my arm. I mean, like a man that was 500 pounds. I mean, I've never known a woman could have that kind of strength. But now, though she was going through a lot of pain, when the baby came out, we were both so excited that neither one of us remember the pain, because you finally see the manifestation of the promise. This was the same with John and Elizabeth. Now, this is an interesting chapter because the book of Luke was written by someone that was not an original apostle. And a lot of people think, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, Luke was not one of the original apostles. Luke was a medical doctor. But yet, Luke was a very precise man. Now, God wanted to use Luke because he was a doctor, because he was used to recording things so accurately, and because he was a man that had seen babies born. The, I'm sure, Trey, that the Mary getting pregnant outside of being with a man was amazing to him. So he gave the most accurate account in amongst the Gospels of this whole thing. But now listen to this. Verse 1, I've never seen this before. I don't know why I never took the time to read this, but it says, "Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." He wasn't talking about himself, but others. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." And that's my job today. Today I'm Luke, and I want you to know the certainty of the things that God has promised. How many of you would just get excited if you knew you walked out of here today, walked in the parking lot, and your blessing was right there?
Amen.
Well, that's how you need to be acting today. See, you got to get this. I'm trying to get y'all to see something. Every time you come into the house of the Lord, every time you're amongst the saints of God, you need to be in expectation. God, get in the birth position. You're pregnant. You're just pregnant in the spirit. Then y'all know that was kind of a strange thing. But that's what has to happen. You got to get in the birth. I can't have no baby. Y'all know that. Come on, man. Y'all messing with me. But you got to get in the birth position. You've got to be expecting the thing that God promised you to come forth. See, here's what the problem is. We say intellectually and with our mouths the things that believers say because we know those are the things that believers are supposed to say. But the real problem is, we are not believing it in our hearts anymore. Because we have not seen the manifestation, we will still say, because here's the thing. Now, we don't want anybody to believe that we have stopped believing. So when people say, "How are you doing?" When we say, "Oh, I'm blessed of the Lord. I believe in God. But see, the problem is you're saying it with your mouth, but your heart is tricking you because you know that your heart and your head are having a little difference.
Yes.
They are disagreeing because your head is saying, well, yeah, it's going to happen, but your heart is saying, because it has not happened, I'm kind of on shaky ground right now. So the purpose of going to church and hear the word of God is to renew that part of you that's shaking a little. Do y'all get this?
Yes.
This is why I tell people that are members here, they even the ones that are not here today, you need to stay connected.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. If you are dependent on a television ministry to pour into you, let me tell you why you're missing God. Because they weren't ordained to pour into you. God set forth a leader, a pastor, an overseer to pour into you. They might be used by God to give you a word, but so was a donkey. Does that make them your pastor? Does that make them your leader? I mean, let's be real. A donkey spoke to a prophet. I mean, because sometimes, even as a prophet, we can't even see the danger that is facing us.
Yeah.
So here's the same situation with Elizabeth. Now, here's what I like. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the court of Libya. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were, now listen, and they were both righteous before God. So now, and I said that because I want y'all to think that she had done something wrong, so God wouldn't let her get pregnant. Because see, that's what the enemy puts in your mind. See, the enemy makes you believe that you got to earn the blessings of God. And how many of you have learned that it just can't happen? There is nothing good enough that you can do to earn the favor of God. God blesses you not because he has to. He blesses you because he loves you.
Yes.
You can't earn your righteousness. Your righteousness is just like filthy rags.
Yes.
You can't earn the favor of God. It cannot happen.
Yes.
God loves you more when you love him more. But listen, the things that he's going to give you, he promised those things. Listen. How many of y'all remember Christmas? I know some of y'all so old you can't even remember back that far. Right, Pat? Right, John? Right, Louise? We the oldest ones in here. But now, let's face it. We all remember Christmas time. Why do we remember it? Because there's always a time where we were going to receive something from people that loved us. I mean, that's the bottom line. They did it not just because we asked. And listen, if you were bad, and I know they said, you better be nice, you better whatever. How y'all know what it is? but the bottom line is, that's assault. Your parents gave you gifts, Louise, because they loved you.
Yes.
Now, you know, because we would be bad until December the 24th.
All right.
Now, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. We would be bad from January the 1st to December the 24th. And on the 24th, the day before Christmas, every kid in the house was acting like, Mommy, you want me to wash the dishes? And you're like, come on, man. You don't have to do this. Now, you know what they're doing. You know that they're doing it because they know tomorrow is Christmas and they're just trying to front. But it does not stop you from wanting to be a blessing to them.
Right.
And I want you to know the Bible says this. If you, being carnal, know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you to those that ask? So now, they were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because then Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Another Abraham and Sarah. Excuse me. But it came to pass while they executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Now, you know what's interesting about this, Louise? It says it came to pass, even though they did not have the promise, even though they still didn't have the son, they didn't stop worshiping God. They didn't stop going to church. They didn't stop doing the things that they were supposed to do. They were still there.
Yes.
What's his name? Zacharias was still performing the duties, just like he still wanted a child. He still wanted a son. You know, Elizabeth still wanted a son, but they were faithful. See, here's the thing. Can you be faithful even when you don't see it?
Yes.
See, that's the real key. When you don't see anything, when you see no evidence that God is going to do what he promised, can you still be faithful?
My God. Yes.
And see, that's the part about this story that people don't talk about. They were in the temple. Listen, though he was, and I'm going to show this to you in a moment, though Zacharias was made dumb because he doubted what the angel said, the only reason that it happened because he was in the place where the thing could happen. Do y'all get that? read more. And it says, according to the custom of the preacher's office, his lot was to burn incense. Incense, as in the Old Testament, you go back to the book of Exodus, and you can see where they went into the Holy of Holies, and they were burning a certain type of incense. And the incense represented, as the Bible says, a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God, which was the prayers of the saints. So this is what he was doing. He was performing his duties as a man of God. Though he did not have a child, he got to go in that temple every week and to see the ones, his peers and other ladies and other men, they had children, probably serving in the temple. And I'm sure it bothered him, but yet he was right there still doing what God had called him to do. Can you be faithful even though you don't see it yet?
Yeah, my God.
Let me give y'all the title of this. You just got to believe.
Yeah.
You just got to believe. That's the bottom line. You just got to believe. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And Zacharias saw him. He was troubled. He was scourged. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. For now listen. He didn't say, I want y'all to get this. He didn't say, Trey, your prayers. He said, your prayer. For your prayer is heard. Which means this. Even though he had not received his child and he was burning the incense, he was still praying. Even though his wife was old, he was still praying for that son. He would, do y'all get this? I know it may seem impossible. It may seem that, you know, the time has passed, but yet the Bible says that the angel said, I heard your prayer. Behold, your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. Now, here's the funny part. Why are we praying for something and don't believe it when somebody promised it to us?
All right.
that's amazing to me. Now, Louise is praying a prayer, asking God for a son. The angel showed up and scared him and said, you're going to get the prayer that you just prayed for. You're going to get your son. So what? How did he respond? Verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, just like many of us do, so don't get all over Zacharias. Whereby shall I know this? For I am old, I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. How, what he was saying, how do I know you're telling the truth? Because just like us, we get to the place where we just really in our hearts, we stop believing. Now, we say we believe, but this is how you know. If an angel showed up right now in the form of a person, and you think they're a regular guy, they walk through the door. And this is why the Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers.
Yes, yes.
Because you may be entertaining angels, what? Unawares.
Yes, yes.
So what if they came in here and said to you, you know, some of the people that you know, you know, you don't see them often, you know, you see them every once in a while, you don't know who they are.
That's right.
If you don't really know them, no, you don't know who they are. There are angels in the form of human beings on this earth right now.
Yes.
Do y'all know that? I guarantee you every person on this earth at some point has run into one.
Yes.
You don't know who it was. Sometimes you have you ever had a situation in which, you know, the strangest thing. I met this person. Well, maybe, you know, you met an angel. Maybe God is trying to tell you something.
Yes.
But now look what happened. He said, whereby shall I know this? The angel said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not speak until the day that these things shall be performed. So he didn't believe it. Yet he said he was just praying, but he didn't believe it. He was praying a prayer from his head. Listen, when you pray, you need to pray from your heart of hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
Pray from your heart. Your head will trick you. Your head will say, well, you come on, man. You know, because the enemy doesn't have access to your heart. He has access to your head. So he's going to make you believe that what God promised, Cheryl, it's not going to happen. You are past your years. You ain't never going to get no husband, Cheryl. Forget about it. God don't care anything about that, because at the appointed season, your man is going to show up paid.
Yeah.
My God. And he better come to Restoration and pay his time. But you can't get to the place where you allow your head to talk you out of what God has put in your heart.
Yes.
When God tells you something, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. I was praying last night. I went into prayer. I always go into prayer before I have to preach. And I had my Bible, and I was just saying, Holy Spirit, just put this word in my heart. I mean, you know, you promised me things. Now, you remember last week I told you about this prophet that I met? He came and spoke a word to me Well, what I didn't tell y'all, Monday after this service on Saturday, and I testified what happened on Sunday, Monday, I got an inbox from a young lady that confirmed everything he said. Now, here's the way it gets real crazy. Some of y'all might say weird. I was at the gym yesterday working out. This guy, Terry, he's an older guy. He's 58, and, you know, we always talk about how old we are. And we're just talking about that. He's an ex-drug addict, was a drug addict for years and years and years. And he's, every time I see him, he's talking about how God delivered him 15 years ago. He's in the church. He works with the deacon. He sings in the choir. And he's just all, and then all, have you ever talked to someone and the conversation goes like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all ever have that? Mm-hmm. You're talking about something totally that had nothing to do with that. And then all of a sudden, this guy stands there and starts prophesying everything that this apostle said. I looked at him, and he wasn't giving me eye contact. He was just kind of standing, looking away. And I'm like, does he know what he... And I know he saw me looking at him real strange. So he's like, what's wrong? I said, nothing. I mean, does he even understand what just happened? I mean, it lasted about 15 seconds. But everything that the prophet said on Saturday, he repeated it. That's the third time. Now, the Bible says, out of the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Here's the thing, guys. Some of you are just not paying attention enough. I'm going to give you an example. And the Spirit of God told me to get a pen. So, and I wrote this down, Trey. I never realized it. I called Darlene in the room. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to tell you something, or he's showing you something, and we're just not putting things together. And I thought about this word. I said, well, that's a confirmation three times. I said, this is amazing. So God said, get a pen. So I didn't have time to look for paper, because let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit says get a pen, you need to get a pen and paper quick. Because now he's going to start talking. Now you might decide to go in and get a honey bun or get something. You go ahead. But I guarantee you, he's not going to wait for you to start talking. Now, when you get there, you might get part of it. But when he says, I have something to tell you, whatever you're doing, I'm telling you, listen, whatever you're doing, you need to stop, get a pen, and write it down. Because you know what's happening? He's connecting the dots. First thing that he said, three prophetic words. Now, there were three different people, and now this is going back to 2013, I believe. 2013. Actually, 2010. Three people that prophesied something to me, and it didn't happen. And I just said, well, God, I didn't want to say you missed it, but, you know, I was being politically correct. But honestly, Nikki, that's what I was saying in my heart, and I knew he knew my heart. So I might have said to him, well, God, I think I missed something, but I was really saying what I really meant in my heart. God, you missed something because this didn't happen. So now, three prophetic words from three different people. You know where I get? Yeah, I know. I knew you would relate to this. Three prophetic words from three different people. Nothing happened. The second thing. Three different times. Now, y'all gonna remember this as I said, but I didn't realize it did that. Three different times. You remember me talking about Bishop Mason? And he came in his dream and he anointed me and I fell out under the anointing, and it happened two other times. Three times I was anointed. Now, you got to understand, by this time, the second one that the Spirit of God gave me, I was leaning back in my easy chair in the office, and I sat up in the chair because I started saying, oh my God, this is true. Third thing, where is it? Third thing. Three different homes that we believed God for and didn't get either one. The first one was in Delran, the second one was in Columbus, the third one was in Mount Laurel. And then I'm starting to see a pattern. The fourth thing, y'all remember me talking about that home we were believing God? I just didn't get it. So, but now we got discouraged. Yeah, we got discouraged. We were questioned. Well, God, you came to Darlene in person. You said to her, you know, twice. You came to her. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you spoke to her in a dream. You came to her. She saw your hand stretched out saying, the house is yours. God will make... No, the first time he said, house. It's going to happen. It's coming soon. The anointing is on you both, but you must remain faithful. So now we're believing, oh man, this is in 2014. Now I know it's about to happen. Well, it didn't happen. Then we were believing God, I think, November. You know, we saw this house in Mount Laurel, the third home. We were just, so we told you about it. We were so excited. We didn't have, Louise, we didn't have $5. But we were believing that this is a $750,000 went there. The second time we went, the first time we went there, we went alone. The second time we went, my brother went with us. The Lord said, you know, take someone with you. And I said, Lord, who should we take? So he didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, in my spirit, it said, your brother. And I said, no, Lord, you know how my brother and my mother is. Now, I don't want to say nothing because, you know, I know he's going to go back and tell it. I don't want them to say, there go John again, you know. But you know how people do. Oh, there he go again. What's he believing God for now? So you almost don't want to say anything. And I really did. Now, you all know what I'm talking about. You just don't want to say anything because you don't want to be looking like a big dummy again. I mean, that's just a fact. So I didn't say anything. So I said, well, Lord, listen. You said in your word, out of the mouth of two, y'all will hear me say that all of the time. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So now, when Darlene's going to call me in a few minutes, if she calls and I tell her what you said and she says Melvin first, it's a done deal. So now I'm just like, I know that ain't going to happen. I know it ain't going to happen. Phone ring. Hey, babe, hey, I said, you know, I said, God just told us we need to go back and see the house, but he said we need to take someone with us. She said, what about Melvin? I said, all right, you got jokes, right? So now I'm really believing this, and I went and told my brother. He said, well, that's perfect, because I was going to New Jersey on Thursday anyway. He lives in Maryland. I'm like, boy, this house is about to be out. This is it. Hallelujah, finally. Then he gave me a dream where I'm standing in the house, and my friend, Pastor Kiken, and his wife, we're walking them around the house, and, you know, I'm showing them different things, and I was downstairs, and this looked like a living room. And I said, you know, the amazing thing about this kind, because he was saying, man, this house is really nice. I said, you know the real blessing? I said, it's debt-free. We don't owe anything on it. He said, oh, man, what a blessing. So now, by this time, I'm real excited. So we prayed, and I was living in Maryland. So, it was a Sunday night, and I had to go back home, Donna, on Monday. So I'm just like, okay, this is it. This is, you know, this is it. Well, woke up. Louise knows because Darlene was at her house. I woke up 1 in the morning because I wanted to get on the road so there would be no traffic. Darlene was sitting up on the couch because every time I was sitting, she would sleep out on the couch with me. Louise was so gracious to let me stay at the house because I was missing my honey. When I got up, Louise, she was sitting on the couch with this smile on her face. I'm like, what? What are you smiling at? She said, I just got a word from God. My heart just go boom, boom, my heart. Nikki, I was ready to break out in the shower. I was like, you ain't got to tell me. I mean, I'm just ready. Because I know it's going to be shit. She had this look on her face. I thought, this is going to be a good one. I said, well, what did the Lord say? He said, the house is yours. God will make the provision. I'm like, hallelujah. I didn't say it loud because I didn't want to wake them up. I got all the way home. I got my radio blasting, and I'm just so excited. This thing is about to happen, and we didn't get it. We didn't get it. So I'm just like, what is wrong? Let me finish though. Next thing that happened to me, I had a dream of Jesus. Three different scenes in the dream. There was a scene, do you remember me talking about? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. He was laying on him, being nailed to the cross, and the Spirit of God said, go on, look at him. And I was like, no. And I mean, I said, no to the Holy Spirit. I said, I can't look at that. I can't. I mean, because it was like it was real. That it was like I was there. It wasn't like I was dreaming. It was like I was standing there as an observer watching. And the Roman soldiers, they had all their Roman gear, and they were talking amongst one another, and he was pointing, saying, like, put the nail there. And I heard him crying out, and I was like, the Holy Spirit said, go look. I was like, no. He said, go. I said, no. I did. I said, I can't. Well, not even 2 seconds later, Jesus came walking, dried blood on the side of his face, the crown still on his head, and he was walking so resolute. Third scene, he was sitting behind a desk with glasses on like this. It was a huge book in front of him. And I said, well, Jesus don't wear glasses. What is this? I mean, this is crap. Now, this just got crazy. And the Holy Spirit said, he wants you to see that he's watching over his word to perform it. Fifth thing, three doors. Now, y'all might remember this. I would have this dream where somebody accused me of something, Louise, and I was going to be locked up for 12 days. After I was sentenced, they had the chain things on my wrist, and I was walking. It was like this white hallway. It's like I was walking like this, and to my left, there were a bunch of doors. The only doors I saw was door 4, 6, and 8. Door 4 was closed. Door 6, there was a woman on the inside. Door number 8, there was a man on the inside, and that's the door they put me in. 3 doors. So I'm trying to figure, well, 8 means, you know, this, and 8 means new beginnings, and 4 means this, and 6 is the number of men. I'm trying to go through all of this, and I'm missing it. I'm not seeing the connection. Okay, the next thing that happened, we've lived in 3 different places since we left Cherry Hill, our home in New Jersey. We lived on Route 130, we lived on 5 Wood Acres Drive, and now we live in the place that we are now. 3, I want y'all to see, I want you to be aware of what God is doing. Now, and I just received 3 confirmations of the word. Now, how many, and the Holy Spirit said, count them. So here's what I did. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21. He said, no, count the number of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 is the number of completion.
Yes.
Guess what I said, Louise? Hallelujah! I said, everybody, what is wrong with you? Hallelujah! I said, you got it. I said, sit down. She's like, babe, I said, sit down. Sit down. And here's the thing I'm trying to get y'all to see. God is always speaking, but you've got to be paying attention to what he's saying, because he's connecting the dots. There are things that have happened in your life, and they tie together. See, what Zacharias could not see, that it wasn't just about him. And let me give you a word, it's not just about you.
Yes.
Zacharias, you know, he played a part in Jesus coming, because, you know, they had John, and John had to be the one, as the Bible foretold, that would pave the way or prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. You see, your dreams are attached to other people.
My God.
Your dreams and your visions are not just about you.
Yeah.
But you got to believe. You got to be expecting. Listen, yeah. I know that some of you are too old to have a baby, but spiritually, listen, you're pregnant. You got to receive that.
Yeah.
Cheryl, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Nikki, you're pregnant. Louise, I know you want to hit, but you're pregnant.
Yeah.
You got a baby coming.
Yeah.
Mama, you got a baby coming.
Yeah.
But you got to be spiritually in expectation of what God has promised.
Yeah.
How many of y'all believe that if he said it, he's going to do it?
Yeah.
Let me give you one more example, and I'm going to close with this. In the book of Acts, y'all get anything out of this?
Amen.
In the book of Acts, chapter 1, let me just read this. Now, by that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the 4 quarterings of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth of the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But listen, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. Now, he was in prison, so it's like I get locked up, and y'all get together and decide to have a chain prayer for God to release me. And y'all having service, and Darlene is preaching, and y'all know I'm locked up, and I knock on the door, because they didn't unlock the door. And Pat opens the door, and see me standing there, and she closes the door back. She don't say, come in. She says, it's Pastor out there. Now, wouldn't you, if you're praying for somebody to be let out, wouldn't you expect it to happen? My question is, why were they surprised? The Bible says that they were in intercession. They were in prayer around the clock for Peter.
Yes.
If you are praying for God to bless you, why don't you believe it?
My God.
Why are you letting other people get in your ear? And listen, let me say this as well. If you are ashamed to give God praise in advance. See, here's what happens. The problem is sometimes, Louise, we tell people what we're believing God for, and they just not happy for you.
Amen.
Now, maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all don't go through stuff like that.
Amen.
You tell people, and you think they're going to be excited for you,
yes.
And the first thing out of their mouth is, you really believe that? And then you go to somebody else and they say, well, you know, I and my sister was believing that. You know what happened? This is what the enemy does. But now, the song says, whose report will you believe?
Yeah.
Will you believe what God promised, or are you going to believe what the enemy through other people was speaking to your ears?
Yeah.
If y'all really believe God, stand up and just give him some praise. Let me see how much you really believe.
Yeah.
Trimester.
My God, Trey.
Thank you, God.
This is it, man.
Thank you, God.
This is it. We talked about this last week.
Thank you, Lord.
The things that you, yeah, see, what God is about to do is going to blow our minds.
Thank you, God.
I started looking at buildings that I had stopped looking at. I mean, I'm just excited in my spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Because with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Yes.
Did y'all get the gravity?
Yes.
This was the angel Gabriel talking. They got a word directly from the Father. For in this time, in this season, nothing shall be impossible with God. God, I pray that I will be the first partaker. I did, because I want y'all to see. Lisa, I'm so serious. I know y'all, Mr. Pastor, you've been saying that for 3 years. I don't listen. I don't care how long it takes.
Hallelujah.
I want y'all to see.
Yes.
And the way that God is confirming His word now, I'm real excited.
Yes.
It's coming from folks that don't even, they saying something, they don't even realize what they're saying. I mean, I'm just standing there like, God, thank you so much. Are y'all excited?
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, God.
I still remember all of my children being born. I still remember. Even two of my grandchildren, I still remember. And I tell you, it's nothing like seeing them, because I think a pregnant woman is beautiful. Not that it's because you ain't never been pregnant, Pastor, but I just think a pregnant woman is absolutely beautiful. I really do. I think there's nothing more beautiful than a woman that's birthing a human being in that. I mean, the miracle that is just beyond my ability to even comprehend. But spiritually, to know that there is something inside of you that God is about to expose to the world.
My God.
That is beyond my ability to even comprehend. That there is something in me spiritually that God is going to birth to expose to the world, that, as He said to me, that the world will know.
My God.
My God.
Thank you, Lord.
So you just got to believe.
Yes, Lord.
The bottom line is, Louise, you just got to believe. See, everywhere that I go, I'm trying to get a word from God. God, what are you saying to me? Not about a blessing. Just what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? You know, how can I be more effective for your kingdom? I mean, I just, you know, because I'm serious. The things that you acquire here, they're not going to last. You can't put no Cadillac, no SUV, no Bentley. You can't put none of that in the casket. You can't take nothing with it. Only what you do for Christ will last. And do you know the way that you build up for kingdom is building, for the kingdom of God is building eternal rewards in heaven?
Yeah.
You know, as believers get saved and you're responsible for that, that diamonds are added to your mansion? Is that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that. And I'm not talking, now here's the weird part. He said, in my Father's house. Now maybe you can help me with that. Because you would think he would say, in my Father's mansion, there are many houses. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions.
Yes.
And if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, but I go to prepare a place. Point your hands and say, for me. That's it.
Yes.
That where He is, there you may be also.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
So that means we get to have a banging house down here and a banging mansion in heaven. Lord,
thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.